shot that way. So the minute you go like this, they back. And I kept telling the guys in every huddle, break the gut. You have to break it down and make them think you're driving or shooting, or they're going to back away, which is why PJ and those guys didn't get the ball.
Come on, everybody. You're in the zone.
In the zone.
The Zone with Jason Anderson. Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville.
And it's supposed to be 4 to 8 inches.
Want
to
be part of the show? Give us a call at 267-9680.
Now.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Jerking back and forth, that would have been a more enjoyable ride.
Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I know, you know, everyone thinks we suck, and, you know, we'll see. It'll be fun.
How about that, the little engine that could? The upstart Patriots finally get a chance to win a game. The world is against us. We've officially found there is no team in the history of sports, nor in the future of sports, is not above playing the nobody believed in us card. The New England Patriots and Tom Brady, who is now going to the 8th straight AFC Championship game, after beating the Chargers 31-28, played the nobody thought we could do this card. Nobody believed in us. Only the people in this locker room had the faith. We can't win any games and we suck. Nobody had any faith. We're just out to prove the whole world wrong that this little engine that could can find a way to win a game here, too. Well, good for you. Good
Did you
for
see you. Them singing?
The number two seed in the league. The number two seed in the AFC. Oh, they won at home. Thank God. They did something nobody ever thought they would do.
Did you see the Gillette Stadium was singing Living on a Prayer as if they were living on a prayer in that game, as if they were just clawing their way back into that game.
Good night, dude. Playing the disrespect. You know what's more disrespectful? Is that people acting like the Colts were better than the number one team in the AFC. Like, that's disrespectful. Like, it is one thing to be nervous and say, look, you've had a lot of bad playoff things happen, and you kind of feel like things always, you know, find a way to go negative. But from the analysis of the fact that people said the Colts were actually the better team is just dumb. It's just stupid. And it happened all week, and I'm like, all right. I mean, look, I'm nervous. I'm a ball of nerves because I want them to win, and they always find a way to lose games like this, but they're clearly the better team. I'm just glad that I took them by double digits all week long. 34-21 was, I think, the score I had. 31-13 is close. I had them getting 21 points. Stupid me. Who would have thought that the offense would only score 6? Same amount of points as the special teams did. So good job. Andrew Luck and the Colts, really, really good team. Studley team, the number 6 seed. Wins 5 in a row just to get into the playoffs. But yes, they were the best team remaining, apparently. So the number one team in the AFC finds a way to upset their way and scratch and claw their way to a victory. And the number two seed in the AFC finds a way to upset the team that was the second best team in the league right behind the Colts. Colts, Chargers, then what, maybe Saints? After a wide gap. Colts, Chargers, a wide gap. Like the Grand Canyon, and then, I don't know, throw a dart after that, it doesn't even matter. I mean, the winner of the Super Bowl is going to be the winner of the AFC Championship game that's going to be played in L.A. with the Colts. We'll talk some sports today, some college basketball taking place over the weekend. Enjoyed watching the Louisville game on Drew Deaner's phone in a bus driving through the Snowmageddon on Saturday, as they got from 10 o'clock at night, I think, on Friday night until Saturday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 11 inches of snow. And so Drew and I, from our hotel, to go out and pick up the president and the other, not, you know, Donald Trump, but the president of the company, was about a 50-minute drive because of the snow, and then another, like, hour drive from there to get to the stadium, which is perfect because we left the hotel at, like, 11 o'clock. So we watched the entire Louisville, North Carolina game on his phone, on the bus, riding just around a city with 11 inches dropping all over the place on the roadways, and it was a disaster. But a lot of fun. Again, thank you to Drew Deaner. surprising me on Thursday. It was an absolute blast of a weekend. Monkey off the back and nerves and all of that stuff gone and just exhaling and all of that. So we'll talk some NFL playoffs. Certainly it is the 1-2 in both leagues. And if you're scoring at home, it is the number 1, 2, 3, and 4 scoring offenses in the league. Well, these teams score at home as well. 1, 2, 3, and 4 scoring offenses in the league are playing in the championship games. And by the way, I wouldn't really make any grand conclusions about this is where it's heading in the future, because I believe last year it was 1, 2, 3, and 4 of the scoring defenses were in the championship game. So from one year to the next, it's completely flipped as the script, but it doesn't mean that it's going to stay that way as if one year now it's all about offense and offense and offense. It does sort of disprove the theory and the regurgitated of defense wins championships, defense wins championship, defense wins championships, defense wins championships. Texter says, Jason, you were short. You were shortchanging the Patriots too. You said they won 31-28, not 41. You shorted Tom 10 points. Not professionalism today. Just a Chiefs homer. That's right. 41-28. They ended up winning by 13. Didn't that thing feel like 50? Like that thing felt like 50, but it ended up being 13. It's sort of like the Chargers-Ravens didn't feel as close as it was when the Ravens actually had the ball to be able to win that game. But they found a way to come back, and the Chargers did a little bit as well. We'll talk some NFL throughout the week, certainly. Zach McCright, Big Easy, will join us coming up at 5 o'clock. A full-court press will come our way at 4 o'clock. Jason Anderson with you on ESPN 680-105.7. It is The Zone, presented by CC Power Sports, as we're hanging out in the Papa John studio today. 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line to be a part of the show. 267-9680. If you want to call in and be a part of the show, you can certainly do that as well. You can tweet the show at J680Anderson. Many ways to get in contact with us. We'll get our sound of the day coming our way before the show is over. We'll talk about some college football stuff as well as a couple of nuggets to get into. Did you see the DraftKings story over the weekend, Magic? We will get to that one. If those out there did not get a chance to see that, certainly we will talk about all of those things before the show is over. And a lot of college basketball today, with Louisville knocking off North Carolina, Kentucky taking care of Vanderbilt over the weekend as well. Watched that game last night. Did not watch a second of that one on Saturday because of obvious reasons. But watched that game last night, and I'm thankful that I had DVR. Thankful that I got to watch that on DVR, because if that game was played live yesterday, I would have 100% fallen asleep. Like I was trying to catch up. I was out of it. I was, you know, zombie yesterday from, you know, really no sleep starting from, you know, Wednesday night. And so I would have absolutely fallen asleep. Luckily, throughout most of the day yesterday, I was in and out of sleep. And by the time I watched the UK game, and it was on DVR, I was able to stay awake for it. So that was lucky.
How's the lock experience for you?
I don't mind watching it on DVR. I don't mind at all. I mean, with the boy, you know, I mean, he usually goes down, you know, for bed around 8 o'clock every night. So it's either you're pausing.
Side track, was he thrilled over the weekend, or is he old enough to really understand?
I don't think he's old enough to understand. I told him that, you know, I went to, you know, the game and watched Pat Mahomes play. Went and watched him play. They gave away to the first 50,000 fans the Pat Mahomes headband, so I will be wearing that on Friday doing the show. Got back in line and then got another one and got him one too. So I got two. So they gave away a headband to the first 49,998 people. Or 49,999 people, because I went ahead and got two. We got 50,000 to give away. Well, we gave away 2-1 guy. All right, fantastic. I can't be the only one that did that. Regardless, got the headband for the boy as well. A fun trip. Again, thank you to Drew Diener and everybody here with the company for doing that and putting those things together last minute. Certainly appreciate that and all of the cool stuff that happened over the weekend, including, by the way, including, and there's a number of texts that we can get into right now if we want to, including, I should point out, what could have made for just an amazing weekend and an awesome story, but it didn't happen. It was close to happening. So we land on Friday morning at like 9:35. And we were on a smaller plane. So you didn't check the bags. It was one of those tarmac check your bag. So you get to the end of the tarmac, you slide your bag to the right, they go ahead and check it for you right there. You get off the plane, the bags are there, you grab your bag, you leave. You don't have to actually go to the baggage claim. So that's what we were doing. I didn't check any bags. Drew had his suitcase that he checked. So I head down the tarmac, and I'm like, I'll just be, you know, out in the hall waiting for you, and then we can head out, try to find the driver that was picking us up.
I'm a media member.
Well, we were fanning this, baby. My mom kept texting me during the game. She's like, where are you sitting? Are you in the press box? I'm like, no, I'm out in the stands. Where at?
Can I see you on TV?
Where at? I'm like, in section 200. Is that in the club section? Yeah. Is that the gold seats? Trying to watch the game. I got gloves on. I got gloves on gloves. It's hard to text. Hard to text and hard to tweet.
By the way, we need Drew Diener to tweet out the picture that he got of you in the box for the game, because I kid you not, you ever see a guy that you're looking at him, you're like, that guy's either a scout or a position coach. That was Jason on Sunday. I've seen the pic from Drew.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Saturday. I'm telling you, man. I
looked just like you were scouting out somebody.
People were like, you were so subdued today. And I'm like, I'm not subdued. I didn't say it like that. I'm like, I'm just nervous. Like, the snow is going to, you know, destroy everything. So we get there. We land. And so we're walking off the tarmac, or at least I am. I get to the end and standing in the hall waiting for Drew to, you know, grab his suitcase and we can go. And then go find the driver. So Drew turns the corner and he's like, you ready to go? And I'm like, yeah, I grab my stuff. We start walking, right? We're walking down a hallway. This lady just starts running down the hallway after us. Sir, 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 sir. And we're looking around like, is she talking to us? She stops us. She looks at Drew and she says, sir, that might be my bag. And Drew was like, are you sure? And he looks down. He's like, this looks like mine. And then they open it up. It's all women's clothes. It's all women's clothes. And had she not been paying attention? Imagine this. If she's just on the tarmac and she's talking to a friend or something and doesn't see him walk by with a suitcase that looks exactly like hers or she thinks is hers, which, by the way, she was right. We get there to the hotel and he's got nothing but women's clothes. He's got nothing but a suitcase full of women's clothes. And by the way, she gets to her hotel. She's got nothing but Drew Diener's clothes. She's got like a Chiefs pullover.
These are so small for me.
They don't even fit. These jeans don't even fit. Actually, they were skinny jeans, so they might have fit. They might have been able to fit her. But Drew was like, it looks just like mine. And by the way, the suitcase, identical. Identical were the suitcases. And if she hadn't been paying attention, there was a part of me that I just wanted that to happen so bad. Like, I know it would have sucked for him. He would have had to go to the store. Whatever he had brought in his suitcase was going to be gone. But the fact that he would have been left with nothing but women's clothes, but nothing but just garments and blouses and makeup kits and shoes and Spanx and whatever. Drew rocking the Spanx to the game. No. It's wow, Drew, you've been losing weight, man. It looks like you got some abs or something, man. That's crazy. No, it's luckily the suitcase that I grabbed packed plenty of Spanx there, so it was fantastic. Texas says, I'm all in on the Chiefs. I hope they win the Super Bowl. Would love to see Jason do shots on the air. Facebook Live is a must for that. Jason should do the entire show with the background music. Makes everything he says sound intense. That's right. Texas says, I was at the game at Arrowhead 2. I saw you throw the snowball. Nice arm. That was not me. I don't know how they had enough snow to be able to do that. By the way, I wonder how many people got kicked out because of that. Because there was security just lining the Chiefs bench, just looking up and, you know, talking on their little walkie-talkies every time they saw a snowball fly. Texas says, I've said it for months on this text line, Chiefs-Rams. On one hand, I want my team, Rams, to win. On the other, I want to hear Jason take a shot. let's just worry about Saturday. Joining us now, I'm seeing on the on the call screen is one Drew Diener, who avoided disaster by having this lady that was paying attention, because Drew was not with the luggage, to see that he had grabbed her luggage and he did not have to wear the women's clothes to the game on Saturday. Is Drew Diener. Drew, how are you, sir?
No, I'm good. Yeah, there's nothing you wanted more to happen all weekend. Just shy of a Chiefs victory. That was number two.
That was number two, sure. Yeah. It was not far behind. You know what? if you had, it was like 60-40. It's like, what would you rather have, the Chiefs win or Drew grab the wrong suitcase that was some random female's and have him be stuck with the female clothes all weekend? It was like 60-40.
Hello, ladies.
Like, going to walk around in a pirate shirt like he was Jerry Seinfeld.
Hello. Now, see, Magic called me. I think Magic really has questions for me about you over this whole trip, because Magic is very curious about this.
Why? I mean, so he called you just out of the blue?
I posed the idea earlier. Oh. Because I think what some of the fans want to know, and some of the listeners want to know, obviously, probably more listeners than fans, is just what Jason Anderson was like in this nail-biting performance for the Chiefs that wasn't actually nail-biting. But for him, I imagine it would be. So one of the things that immediately pops into head is, what was Jason Anderson's reaction when the Chiefs make their first big mistake of the game and a punt is blocked and returned for a touchdown?
Well, there's 75,000 Jason Andersons in that state.
Exactly. He's right. He's absolutely right about that.
They all had the same reaction. Okay, here it is. It's over.
He's absolutely right about that.
It was over.
Hey, with 12 minutes to play in the game, there's still 12 minutes to play. The Chiefs, you know, last year blew a 21-3 lead against the bleeping Titans. You know, a few years ago, they were up 38-10 against Andrew Luck and the Colts, and they found a way somehow to give that game away. With 12 minutes to play, Chad Boger, the president of the company, who took care of everything except for the flight, which Drew did, which was awesome. And so this whole weekend was amazing just for, you know, you guys doing that stuff. It's unreal and way above and beyond. He looks back as it's 12 minutes to go, and he goes, boy, this defense has been playing awesome today. I'm like, shut your damn mouth! And I'm telling you, the dude behind me, the guy next to me, the guy in front of Chad, all the same thing. What the hell are you doing, man? Shut up. What are you talking? There's still 12 minutes to play. They're about to go on a
Before the game, this was the best part. When the snow forecast was coming in all weekend, you know, the radio. By the way, they did 33 hours of pregame coverage there
Sounds
for one
familiar.
Game. I wonder where they got that idea.
Sounds familiar.
That's a really good idea.
I'm scared.
Everybody's wondering about the weather. And so Anderson has this ultimate theory about the weather. And I was kind of buying. And I mean, I don't even know if he's right or wrong. Theory was Mahomes throws a very hard ball.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to bounce off the receiver's hands. Where Andrew Luck throws a much softer pass, so they're more likely to catch them.
Yep.
I'm like, it's the weather. You have no idea how it's going to affect
this.
And then the only thing that calmed it is they're going out for warm-ups. that's the picture I showed Mike earlier. Is this pensive look of Jason Anderson leering out over the receivers and running backs catching passes, and then that was the first moment of calmness of, you know what, they didn't drop any. I think we got a chance.
No,
like, you're the number one team.
No doubt. It was, look, I had it all week 34-21. And when it started snowing,
you didn't have it all day that way. I'll tell you that.
When it was snowing that bad, like it was 11, like they were calling for like 4-6 or 4-8. Then it changed to 6-9. Nice. And it ends up being 11 inches is what they got. And it's coming.
Wow.
I mean, it's snowing.
All center on Arrowhead. Like 20 miles west. Like 2 inches of snow.
Yeah, apparently the heavy band sat in the same place for 3.5 hours on Saturday. It's not a joke. That's actually what happened. The meteorologist was like, well, it's because of this and some sort of a front over there. So it sort of stopped it. And now it's just sitting right there. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. That is that's the curse. That's what happens. Because I said to Drew, and I'm like, look, the Chiefs are the better team. They're the better team because Pat Mahomes does amazing things when something breaks down. I said, if it's bad weather or wet or it's slick or the ball is going to be wet, like, that takes away the main advantage the Chiefs have. Andrew Luck throws a very catchable ball. It's an easy ball. It gets there on target. It's got enough velocity. He makes every throw. He's incredibly accurate. But it is a softer throw to catch, whereas Mahomes throws at 100 miles an hour. And he can fit it into those tighter windows because of the fact that he has that much velocity. But I'm just in my mind picturing him throwing a snowy ball, bouncing off
the
receiver over
the
middle.
Broadcast, they brought up the fact that his dad was a former pitcher. They brought that up so many times.
That's all I'm picturing is just bouncing off a receiver's hand over the middle and intercepted. And I'm like, this is a disaster. And then I go out for warm-ups, and I'm watching him, you know, just fire the ball over the field and no drop passes. And I look at Drew and I go, all right, it's good.
And
it's all good. It's good. He's fine. He's fine.
Not the number one seed.
Chiefs are fine.
Not the record.
That's what I
not
did.
13-3.
Warm-ups.
That warm-up.
Legit. Yep. I looked at Drew and I said, it's fine. It's good. They're good. I feel much better now.
And then about the late first quarter, early second quarter, I can't remember exactly when it was, Pat Mahomes comes up limping after a play after he gets hit.
That was in the third quarter.
That was in the third quarter? Yeah, wow, that was even later in the game of thought.
Yeah, that was
how
in the
panicked,
third.
How panicked was the stadium when they saw the limp?
I wasn't. I don't think anybody was because the very next play, he was throwing a screen pass and he had to scramble to his right to be able to complete it. And I was like, oh, he's fine. He's fine.
No, but everybody there, it's a they're all clones, Magic. They're all the same.
That's amazing.
Attitude that Jason had, everything that could go. But the thing that should have turned it around, I thought was a really magical moment, was when they went to do the pizza giveaway and they circle a ball around the light band around the whole stadium and it stops on one section and then and it's in our section and then it stops in a row and it stops on Jason's row. So his row out of the whole stadium won free pizza. Papa
because,
John's.
Because we had seven.
You can't get that at home.
How has that story not come up yet?
We had seven tickets or six tickets. We had four in the third row and two on the fourth row. And it's like section 202, row four. And I'm not even paying attention. And everybody in our row starts cheering. And I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, that's us. That's us. And Drew was like, what did you say, Drew? You're like, oh.
I was like, we went pizza. They're like, we did. You did.
And that's what I said. I said, we did. You didn't. You got down on the third row. You took the ticket in the row closer. I took the fourth row ticket. I got free pizza. How could I ever get free Papa John's around here? That's something I'll never be able to do.
Should have been an omen.
I know. I know. At that point, I'm like, all right, it's all good. It's all good. I have no idea what's going to happen on Sunday, but the nerves and all of the stuff, it's all gone. Not that I'm confident they're going to win, not at all. It's just the fact that they won a game and they sort of got that huge monkey off their back, and they have Mahomes for however long they're going to have him. So it's all good this week. Obviously, I'll be a mess on Sunday and as it gets closer, but the fact that they did it, they took it. Because, by the way, if they lose that game, Magic, you're a Bengals fan, you know that. When they lose to the Steelers in the way they did, you're going, well, the next time they get in this position, the first thing you're going to go is they're going to blow it. You're going to say they're going to blow it. That's what they're going
to
do.
I get to do that twice a year and then sometimes three times a year when they play the Steelers.
Well, I mean, just in the playoffs. So if they get there, you're just going to be like, okay, they're going to lose anyway because they had done it so often. And to me, if they were to lose that game, it would be the same thing next year. They're going to blow it. They're going to find a way. Oh, the number one seed, that's fine. They're going to find a way to end up playing this team or that team. There's going to be a ball that bounces in the air that Andrew Luck gets.
And
it
didn't help that
touchdown.
There was the Colts, and that's just the bugaboo team for you
guys.
That's
right. Yeah, they were the better team. I didn't think it was really all that close. Like, I loved the Chiefs minus 5.5. It's the matter of the ghosts and all of that stuff and the past and the history of it. And, you know, so that was the main thing. But thank you to Drew again,
you,
man.
No,
that was awesome.
It was enjoyable, man. It was worth watching all these people exercise their demons.
It really was, man.
It was just great to be in a stadium where they don't need traditions. They get in the stadium early and they yell the entire time your team has the football. There's not like choreographed cheers except for, you know, the tomahawk chop, but. Well, I guess I'm saying that right. The tomahawk chop, what do you call it? That's what they call it in Atlanta. What call it tomahawk chop?
They call that at Florida State. I don't know what they call it
in
Kansas City.
Yeah, it's the chop.
Okay,
yeah,
just
the tomahawk
chop.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, the tomahawk chop. Yeah.
But it's that and then yell as loud as you can. I mean, it's not real complicated.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. So, you know.
It's awesome, though.
Last question, Drew.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What were the odds that if you had not noticed and the suitcase change had not happened, you would have actually gone through and worn ladies' clothing that weekend?
0% chance. They have fine department
stores
all over Kansas City.
Yeah, they would have had plenty of places that he could have gone and bought something.
God, that would have been a great picture, though.
The real omen, though, was the fact that we're driving or riding in the van on Saturday from the hotel. It's just Drew and I for the first hour because, again, there's 11 inches falling on the street there. So what would typically be a 20-minute drive took an hour. And then what would typically be another 20-minute drive to the stadium took an hour. So Drew and I are in the bus at right around 11 o'clock, which is, you know, noon here. That's when Louisville and North Carolina started. And just from the beginning, what, North Carolina led 3-0, and after that it was just all Louisville in a rout. And we're watching that game just in amazement, like, hey, they haven't missed, have they? Are they 7 of 7? Wait a minute, they're like 8 of 8. All right, they're 8 of 9. Now they're 9 of 10. Like, this is crazy. And they keep just scoring and scoring and scoring. Like, that should have been the first omen, is that, you know, Drew's watching his team, you know, just dominate North Carolina. And, you know, Union Broadcasting overall has a partnership with the Chiefs, and they've got a partnership with the Louisville Cardinals. Like, that's the omen, is you're going out to the game, and Louisville is just destroying North Carolina. Just and you and I are watching and going, what the hell's happening? Like, what is going on? Like, how is this happening? Who is that team?
Not, could not believe it. And then we're more concerned about being able to not get stuck on a highway on the way to Arrowhead Stadium.
Since we got stuck in a driveway, and Drew and me and four other guys are shoveling this driveway to get this big bus out of the driveway because the guy, we're riding over, so it's just Drew and I in the bus as we're heading over to pick everybody else up. And we're like, so does this bus handle pretty well in the snow? And he goes, I don't know. It's my first time driving it in bad weather. Like, oh, okay, awesome.
I don't know, boys. Yeah,
okay, cool.
This way.
And then we get there. The driveway is not shoveled at all. Okay, at all.
And an excellent reason.
I know, right? I know, right? This is an awesome, by the way. And it's perfect, sort of Drew Diener-esque. Yeah. So we get there, and I'm like, okay, he's just going to sit out here on the street because the driveway is not shoveled. Why would you drive through what is 6 inches that has already fallen, 6 inches, and just sit there? Like, you're not going to drive up a driveway and then sit there 20 minutes and then back up. Like, that's not going to happen. So the guy's driving and pulling forward. Then he thinks, okay, well, I'll just do a little 3-point turn and turn around, and then I'll face the road to get out. Well, as soon as he stops and goes to put it in reverse, zzz, forward. And Drew's still at this point. We're watching the end of the first half. Drew's not paying attention at all. Like, he has no clue we're stuck in the snow. He's just watching a little, like, they hit another three, and I'm like, we're stuck in the snow. They got a
great.
They got it. They got another turnover. He's not moving, Drew. Like, another three and a foul on Kobe White. Like, legit, his wheels are just spinning, Drew. He had no clue what was going on until it got to halftime. And so finally, Chad shows up, whose house that we were at, and we're like, hey, you know, that's stuck. Like, we need to shovel out. And he goes, I don't have a shovel. We said, you don't have a show snovel? A show snow
No offense
shovel?
To the president, but that's so bougie.
But it's perfect, Drew.
I have a service.
No, not even that. Not even I have a service. Here's the answer. He goes, oh, the company I used to own comes and shovels my driveway.
That's
boom!
That's
that was
that's
the answer.
Answer.
And I looked at him and I go, that makes sense. Makes sense.
Baller.
But you could probably have a snow shovel. Say that 10 times fast. You could probably have a snow shovel just in case. And so we're stuck. He's calling his buddy who's, you know, going to meet us there to come and grab, you know, our chief financial officer here at the Union Broadcasting to bring a shovel over when he's riding in his Denali.
To bring a snow shovel.
Hey, can you bring a shovel over to help us dig out of this of our driveway where this guy who's first time driving in the snow apparently parks this, you know, 5,000-pound bus in 6 inches of snow, not even thinking about the fact that we would just be stuck as opposed to putting it on the road and just parking on the side there. No big deal. So he's got to bring a shovel. While that's going on, I've grabbed a rake. So I'm raking the snow from underneath the tires and underneath the bus, trying to think that, like, okay, this will get us out. It's not a big deal. And as I'm doing this, and as I'm raking out from behind the tires, in front of the back tires, because this bus also no four-wheel drive. So not only does he park the bus in the driveway on 6 inches of snow, it doesn't have four-wheel drive. And was it Posit Traction where you get stuck and only one wheel spins? That's all it was doing. When he was going forward, it was one wheel spinning. When he was going in reverse, it was another wheel spinning. And I'm like, you're never going to get out of this. Not only that, I'm digging out for like 10 minutes as he's trying to rock it back and forth. I finally.
Andy Reid never got second guessed as much as Jason was second guessed the efforts of the driver.
I look forward, and this I almost lost my bleep when I looked. I looked forward. He drove straight. And now he's backing up, and as he was backing up is when he got stuck. So in front of the tire, you would think there'd be about, 4 feet or so that would be a little bit of space. No. He had his wheels all the way turned left, where it is against the damn snowbank. And he's trying to drive forward. And I didn't notice this until I'm digging out and raking out and I'm getting the back tires and it's spinning. And I'm like, all right, well, let me get a little more. It's spinning. And now I'm just trying to wipe the snow away. And I look as he's driving forward first. And I'm like, you got your wheels turned all the way. They're facing 10 o'clock. Your space to drive is directly straight for 4 feet. There's a 6-inch snowbank that you're trying to drive into. What? No wonder it's your first time driving. This is my first time driving in weather like this. Well, clearly, it is your first time driving in weather like that. Regardless, 20 minutes later and six different guys shoveling, we got out of this what ended up being a really long driveway to be able to get out of. And we made it there, finally.
Yep. And despite popular opinion, I did grab the snow shovel and do some work.
Oh, Drew was working his tail off.
That was all up to y'all.
Drew was working. And what is so annoying, because we always talk about how I'm not photogenic and pictures are taken me at the wrong, taken of me always at the wrong time. What is so annoying is that Anna, who sells here and does a great job, you know, with the company overall, she takes a picture of all of us, you know, trying to get this van, this bus out of the driveway. And you know what the picture is? It's of me at the front of the bus with my arms crossed, waiting for them to shovel the back part because we were pushing at that point. Like, I had done all this work.
Magic, Mike. You can grab that.
I had, yes, right. I had done all of this work for like 15 minutes until everybody else got there. Now I'm pushing, but the one picture that's taken is all of these guys shoveling and working and me standing at the front of the bus with my arms crossed. Like, I'm just standing there watching, like, yeah, get that side or a little bit back there.
Yeah, supervising. Supervising as a good media member should.
I'm like, I'm going to look like the lazy guy that was just standing there watching everybody. And
I'm a media member.
Oh, man. And the whole time, Drew was wearing women's clothing. It was awesome. It was odd how that happened. And those heels, you were never going to get through the snow in those heels, Drew.
The skirt and the heels was a great combo form there.
Yeah, that was great. The leggings he was wearing, I thought, made a difference, too. It kept him warm, so there you go.
I saw Tootsie. I've seen the movie.
Yeah, that's right. Drew, again, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. It was a blast. Man. I cannot thank you enough or pay you back or anything. It was a cool experience.
Man.
I appreciate you, sir.
That was awesome. Whole thing was awesome.
All right, brother. All right. 267-9680 is the phone number. Louisville did play against North Carolina, and, you know, we were talking while the game was going on, and even after it was over, like, one of my main takeaways was, like, that looked like teams were wearing the wrong jerseys. Like, they were wearing the wrong uniforms. If you would have said on, what, Saturday morning, Friday, that they were going to leave the end of that game to go and show pregame highlights of Florida State, I'm joking, of Duke playing anybody, it just happened to be Florida State, of Duke playing another team, of Duke dribbling a basketball, if you would have told me that the game was so out of hand because of that, I would have said, wow, North Carolina just punked him. Like, Louisville, what's Chris Mack going to say now? You know, it's he's already frustrated. He's already sort of annoyed. He's mad at some of the defensive efforts that he's seen. Like, how is Louisville going to respond from them leaving the broadcast and moving Louisville to ESPN News so that they can show pregame, pre-produced packages of Duke facing off against Florida State? And it's like, well, Louisville gets Boston College Wednesday, so I guess they can, you know, get a little healthy. But, man, they would be 1-3 in their last four games is the way that I would have thought that that would have gone down. Not that Louisville would have been just dragging North Carolina. Not beating them, just dragging North Carolina. I mean, just thoroughly punking them, and North Carolina looking like they were disinterested, they were dismantled. I'm giving Louisville a lot of credit for that because right out of the gates, they were knocking down shots, they were getting stops, they were getting defensive rebounds, and they were getting out and running, and they were creating easy shots for themselves. A number of those threes, by the way, were wide open. Even Stephen Enoch, when it's like, well, he's got a nice touch and a three-pointer, he was wide open, and he took it in rhythm. Because that's what Louisville was doing. They were getting open shots, they were driving, attacking. Kristen Cunningham got in the lane, pump fake, gets Kobe White up in the air, and Kobe White trying to avoid him. Minimal contact, but a foul. Cunningham finishes, knocks down the free throw, three-point play. They were doing things like that. They get the offensive rebound. Dwayne Sutton falls on the floor. It's kicked out to the top of the key. North Carolina forgets about the fact that Dwayne Sutton's on the floor because he fell. Well, he's back up now. They throw it down to him on the block layup because they're like, they're worrying about everybody else because Dwayne Sutton fell. Well, he's going to get up. Like, He doesn't have a lifeline, bracelet.
Nah, that's Akoi.
He's not falling and he can't get. That's right. Akoi's got the life lock or whatever, the lifeline or whatever it is.
Life alert.
There it is. Whatever. I knew it was life. I knew there was life in there.
Not for long.
Yeah, right. But he fell and it's like, okay, he's out of the play now. He fell. There's no way this Division I athlete who plays in the ACC is going to be able to get up within 5 seconds and lay it up. We won't even worry about guarding him. And it's just Louisville just took him out of the game. And one of the real sort of surprising things, and I'll credit Louisville, and I'll credit Chris Mack too, because North Carolina never really got a run going. And I say never really, they just didn't. And the one time, I think it was in the first half, that Louisville looked a little disjointed, disconnected, disorganized, whatever way you want to call it, they just weren't playing as crisp as they did at the beginning of the game. And you could see it. North Carolina came down, got a couple baskets. Louisville was, you know, sort of choppy with the ball, making some dangerous passes, almost turning it over. Chris Mack gets a timeout. Timeout. And then Louisville regroups, gets back on the floor, and then they go on a run. And so, you know, I'll give credit to not only Louisville, but Chris Mack as well, because he saw that. He should see that. He's been a coach for a long time. But there are different things where you go, well, they're up 11 at that. Well, they're up like 23 to 12 or whatever the score was. They're fine. You know, play through it. You don't want to waste the timeout now. It's not a real run for North Carolina. Save that. No, he saw it and said, no. If you could keep this lead, if you can extend this lead a little bit, can you get out to a point that when North Carolina makes a run, can they make a run just to get within double figures? Can they make a run just to make it eight? If that's the case, if that's the deal, to where you're up 17-18 and North Carolina goes on a 10-0 run that you would expect to happen at some point in the game, and now they make a 10-0 run and they're there within seven. Like, can you get out to a good enough distance for that to happen? And that makes sense as to Chris Mack calling the timeout there, because, again, North Carolina hadn't scored, you know, 6 or 8 points in a row. It was that Louisville looked a little disorganized, and North Carolina scored a couple of buckets, and at that point Mack was like, all right, timeout. Let's get things together. Let's get a good offensive play. And they did. Good set. You know, and make sure you get a good look at the basket. And that's exactly what happened. And that just continued the rest of the game. And I would say, though, right now, you know, I know the conversation after the Pitt game, and certainly we were having it right here on the show about, you know, what this team looked like and what they were moving forward, and what certainly looked like a regression defensively, no doubt, after that Pitt game. And Chris Mack on Friday, how it sounded just really annoyed defensively in the different ways he was sort of viewing the game and viewing Louisville and the team that he has and the way they're defending and the things they're doing differently than what they were doing against Michigan State and Seton Hall. And they came out and just punked North Carolina. And I'll tell you this, they're on the inside looking out now. Like, they're a tournament team right now. They are on the inside looking out. That is, look, you don't want to lose at Pitt, but if you're going to go 1-1 last week, that's the way to go 1-1. The win was a bigger win than it would be viewed as a Pitt bad loss, if that makes sense. Like, if you got a 50-50 in the middle, like a weighted scale, the North Carolina win is going to outweigh the Pittsburgh loss, because Pittsburgh was on the road, and I'm looking at the net rating right now, the NET, as they will use it. Pittsburgh is a 65 in the net. Losing at number 65 on the road is not going to keep you out of the tournament. Winning at number 10 net rating right now, North Carolina, is going to be the feather in the cap, along with Michigan State at home and Seton Hall on the road, that gets you in the tournament. And that is to me, a fantastic exchange. If you went 1-1, there is no way I would have, or really I think anybody would have predicted, lose at Pitt, win at North Carolina, that they're 1-1. The obvious would have been, you know, beat Pitt, lose to North Carolina, not lose to Pitt, beat North Carolina. But that's what happened, and now Louisville gets to return home on Wednesday against Boston College. Georgia Tech should be a win. And in theory, they should set themselves up with a four-game winning streak and being, what, 5-1 in ACC play when they get ready for North Carolina State at home. And I don't want to just give them wins, because Georgia Tech's on the road. Pittsburgh was 80 in the KenPom and Georgia Tech 63, so, you know, a little bit better than Pittsburgh. Boston College is a bad team, so it shouldn't be an issue on Wednesday night. So maybe an opportunity to get a little more confidence there as well. But this team and what they did on Saturday, I think, changes the complexion, changes the direction, changes a lot of things moving forward, changes the view of this team, because they're capable of that, of beating North Carolina by 21. I want to talk about Kentucky and Vandy. Let's bring in Teddy first on ESPN 680 105.7 on this Monday edition of The Zone. Go right ahead, Teddy.
What's up, baby?
How are you?
I can hear the excitement in your voice. I can hear the excitement in 680's voice all day long.
Mm-hmm.
All day long.
Right, right.
Now, let me tell you.
About the win over the Colts, right?
No, man.
Oh, okay.
About the win over the Heels.
Okay.
Listen, man. This puts them in the conversation, man. I mean, this is a top 15 team, without a doubt. Possibly even a fringe top 10 team. All I know is Floyd Street's on the rise. Keep it coming. I love everybody. I love the nation. Louisville sucks.
As soon as he started by saying, I can tell the excitement in everybody's voices, you knew it was a Kentucky fan, right? I mean, there was going to be that dismissing of North Carolina, right? It's funny because I don't remember dismissing of North Carolina from Kentucky fans after UK beat them on a neutral floor by, what, 8? Did that happen? I don't remember that. I'll have to look back. Maybe I'll look at tweets and people going, well, North Carolina is actually not that good. I mean, yeah, they beat Gonzaga. Like, that team's any good. They didn't even have Killian Dilly. Like, they beat Gonzaga at home by double digits. Like, that matters. They're just not that good. I mean, yes, North Kentucky beat them, and I love Kentucky, but they're just North Carolina sucks. That is so much more about North Carolina than it was Kentucky. I mean, good night, man. That's an easy go. I don't remember that. I might be mistaken, though. Now, on the flip side, I remember some Louisville fans saying that it was about North Carolina, not about Kentucky, that North Carolina got exposed, that they really weren't that good because Kentucky beat them. That's not the case today, though.
I just realized the crazy factor that both Seton Hall and North Carolina are on Louisville, Kentucky's schedule this year.
Isn't that crazy?
That's kind of fun.
Yeah. Is there breaking news now?
A little bit of breaking news. Okay. Not necessarily local, but interesting for the national perspective.
Right.
Kyler Murray has officially entered the NFL draft. The reigning Heisman winner has decided he is going to try his hand. He can still change his mind and opt out of the draft before the process begins, but currently he's in.
So what was happening is that the negotiations weren't going as planned or as they hoped with the Oakland A's to not go into the NFL, and being able to now put your name in the NFL draft raises the stakes of those negotiations. Now he can take his name out, but hey, guess what? I'm serious about going to the NFL and playing in the NFL. They're A's guys that gave me $4 million. I'm going to put my name in the NFL draft. Are you serious about making sure that I don't go to the NFL? Because if you are, I'd like to see you put your money where your mouth is, because I might be the number one pick in the draft.
And we'll get a little local perspective on that from Randy Heights of 107.7 The Franchise in Oklahoma
really?
City at the top of the hour at 4 o'clock.
Okay, how about that? All right, very good. All right. Going to Oklahoma City. Texas says, I was hoping Teddy would end the call with the Joe Namath scream. Yeah! I want to kiss you. Thanks, Joe. Yeah! That would have been great. But as soon as he was like, I can tell the excitement in Louisville fans' voices. I can tell the excitement in 680s, excuse me. Every host here, they're having so much fun. They're loving life because Louisville won against North Carolina.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah!
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 I want to, can we get like the last 5 seconds of Teddy's call and just end it with Louisville sucks and then end it with that?
Yeah!
Combine that one. There you go. All right, 437-9680. We could talk about UK taking care of Vandy as well. Also, I should point out Louisville's defense went from number 83 in the KenPom to number 59 with that game. It's pretty good. Pretty good. But again, that to me, like the biggest takeaway is one, how they dominated North Carolina, but also the trade of them losing at Pitt but beating North Carolina. They're a tournament team right now. They're on the inside looking out. And if they're good enough to go to North Carolina and win, then what they've done is they've allowed themselves to hold serve with the, I guess, games you should win. Because, again, you've got North Carolina, Michigan State wins already, won at North Carolina. And, again, that is not a quote-unquote bad loss that is going to keep you out of the tournament, that is going to drag it down. You know what I mean? Like, Kentucky's losses are not that either. Like, Alabama is number 45, maybe? something like that, in the NAT, number 45, number 50. So, again, it's not like losing there is going to be like, wow, you lost there. That's amazing. You're just going to keep you out of the tournament. Like, how do you do that? Like, you gave away your tournament. You gave away your tournament. That's not the case with either of them. But Louisville's getting the win at North Carolina. Let's take a timeout, come back. We'll continue rolling on ESPN 680, 105.7. We do have a full court press coming up at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. And then we'll talk with Zach McCright, Big Easy, get his thoughts on some college basketball, some NFL over the weekend, college football as well as Tate Martell, the quarterback from Ohio State, who is currently in the transfer portal. We don't know where that portal is going to take him. There are three different doors he can choose in the portal to send him to a certain school. I'm imagining him actually in a portal right now.
Scary, scarier, and scariest.
As he's getting closer and closer to these three doors and he has to make the decision. One of the doors is Louisville and Scott Satterfield. Another door is Miami and Manny Diaz. And another door is West Virginia and Neil Brown. All three, by the way, first-year head coaches at their schools. Now, he could have stayed at Ohio State and been the same thing with Ryan Day. But you got Fields from Georgia that ended up transferring into Ohio State. He's appealing to the NCAA. Most people believe he's going to win the appeal, and he'll be playing for Ohio State next year. And if that's the case, Tate Martell will be a backup again, like he was this year to Dwayne Haskins. He would be a backup again next year to Josh Fields. And by the way, that guy's, you know, the same class, right? As Tate Martell. Well, I guess Tate Martell might be a redshirt freshman. Either way, because he was in Tua's class. Martell was the number two dual threat quarterback in the country behind Tua Tagovailoa. Fields was freshman this year. So if the guy's younger, I mean, you're going to be back up the rest of your time. So Louisville's in the mix to land Tate Martell, which is obviously big news. Bobby Petrino was in the news to a certain degree, and my wish and prayer did not happen. I just really wish that would have taken place. I would have. Oh, Bobby working for Nick Saban. God, that would have been amazing. That would have been just fire and gasoline. Oh, man. You know what it would have been like? It would have been Bobby realizing what it's like to work for him. It would have been Bobby being an assistant coach to somebody who is as demanding and probably, you know, jerk to his staff as, you know, he was.
Yeah!
Only he's on the receiving end of that with Nick Saban.
Yeah!
Texas says, Murray expecting $15 million from the A's without taking one Major League Baseball at bat was ridiculous. That's when I knew his mind was made up. Well, his mind was made up, or sort of he valued the risk, if you want to call it that, of going to the NFL and getting injured or something like that, or the non-guaranteed contracts as opposed to the guaranteed money in Major League Baseball, which, by the way, happens when you actually make it to the league and when you get through arbitration or the first 3 years of non-arbitration and then the next 3 years of arbitration when they got 6 years of control over you. And when you get to arbitration, then maybe they can sign you to a long-term deal. That can happen. More times than not, it's probably second year of arbitration when you're looking at the year after that being the last year they have control over you. So you're looking at 4-5 years where you're under the A's control, and you're making some, you know, you're not making a whole lot at that point. You got your $4 million bonus, which is awesome, but you ain't making the Bryce Harper, you know, $200 million. You're not making the free agent, you know, $150 million money. You're not doing that yet. You got to get to, you know, Nolan Arenado, by the way, just how long has he been in the league? He's just now, I mean, he's getting to, arbitration to where he wanted like, what, $32 million? And the Rockies were offering him $24 million. And he still didn't have a long-term deal. Like, if you sign Nolan Arenado was a free agent right now, he'd sign for $250 million somewhere. Like $25 million for 10 years, minimum. He might sign for $300 million over 10 years right now. The dude's the best defensive shortstop in the league, and he's slugging 45 home runs and driving in 130 and batting 320. Like, that dude would make $30 million a year. And he's still not signed up to that crazy money. Now, at minimum, he was going to get $24 million. That's a minimum, because the guy is an all-star, a gold glover, a silver slugger, one of the best players in the league. Kyler Murray ain't that. Yet. He's not that yet. He's going to go through the minor leagues. And so I understand if he's saying, look, I mean, I'm going to get guaranteed dollars by being a top five pick. Like, what did what was the guaranteed dollars for Josh Allen this year? What was I'm going to look up Josh Allen's contract because he was number one overall. Excuse me, I'm sorry, Baker Mayfield. Jesus. Remember when we were talking about Josh Allen maybe being number one overall? So Baker Mayfield's contract. I know. It's my bad. Buddy boy.
Buffalo.
He wasn't saying buddy boy to Josh Allen. What'd you think about that, buddy boy? Buddy boy. Let's see. He got a $32 million guaranteed contract, Baker Mayfield, $32 million. Guaranteed. That's what Kyler Murray would be looking at. Somewhere around there, right? He might be the number one pick in the draft. Now, I think Dwayne Haskins could certainly be up there as well.
And here's the other factor. Is it easier to market yourself if you're a quarterback in the NFL or a random outfielder in Major League Baseball?
For the A's. Yes. Baker Mayfield got a $21.8 million signing bonus. So not only was $32 million of that contract guaranteed, he got a check for $21.8 million. So yes, Kyler Murray wants 15 because essentially he wants 15 in a guarantee that he's got that money in the bank and then he can go and just play baseball because he knows he's going to get more than that in the NFL. But he's essentially weighing the risk as, okay, I can get hurt in the NFL. I'll weigh that as $15 million. But I would say, too, though, the way that quarterbacks are protected now, I mean, look, you're going to take a whole lot. Your body is going to be damaged a whole lot more in hits and physical play in the NFL, even as a quarterback, than it would in Major League Baseball. Look, the wear and tear over time in Major League Baseball certainly has an impact, and it's an everyday game. It's a constant grind. Every day you got to be ready to play. You got to show up to the ballpark. Whereas the NFL, it's, 16 games a year in which you got to bring it. Those games are more physical. But with the changing of the rules, it is less dangerous for quarterbacks in the NFL now. I don't know how much, less dangerous it is from a concussion standpoint for quarterbacks in the NFL, but they are well protected. They are a very protected species, are the quarterbacks in the NFL. And if you're Kyler Murray, you know that going in. And if you're number one pick, you're getting $32 million guaranteed over a five-year contract.
Up says Dwayne Haskins at the news, because every time Dwayne Haskins gets set up to be something, the first quarterback taken, the Heisman winner, the guy that's going to break some kind of record,
that's right.
Here comes Kyler Murray. I really want them to get drafted to the same division. Yeah. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I need that to happen. I need this to be a new rivalry.
Mm-hmm. And so, that's, yeah. $15 million seems like it's
yeah!
Thanks, Joe. Seems like it's crazy, but. Or ridiculous, but I get where he's coming from at that point. Go get your money. You want to play baseball? Great, go play baseball. You want to play football? Go play football. But if you've got an opportunity if you've got the position to where, no, I'd love to go play football right now. But if they're going to buy me out of my desire to play, I'm good. I love baseball too. But there might be $32 million in guaranteed money sitting there on the table.
And here's the other factor about it. Baseball doesn't really have the same kind of age restriction that the NFL does. We've seen a couple times that there have been players that have tried baseball, gone back to college, or have done something, then gone back to college as a quarterback and tried to go to the NFL. Brandon Whedon being the most recent big name example. Mm-hmm. And not that they had bad careers or anything, but I think that the NFL is more apt to be a young man's game. Whereas Tim Tebow, as publicity as it may be versus skill or other way around, I don't know enough to say, he is one level away at the beginning of this spring training from being in Major League Baseball, and he's in his 30s.
Well, and but also, like, Kyler Murray is a little bit different than some of the other, top pick bonus babies, is that while we'll see them when they're first drafted and be like, this guy's a stud, nationally and like SportsCenter, they don't care about those guys anymore until they make it up to the big leagues or they're doing something ridiculously crazy, groundbreaking, record-breaking in the minor leagues. Like, wow, he's hit his 60th home run, and it's something, or throws two no-hitters in the minor leagues. This guy was the number one overall pick. They will pay more attention to Kyler Murray because of he's already got the publicity. He's already been marketed. He's already won the Heisman. It probably would be a little bit like Tim Tebow. Like, you would give updates. Like, Kyler Murray got, moved up to advanced A today. Or Kyler Murray got, promoted to double A today. Here's what he's hitting at high A in his career with the A's organization. He would be covered different than other first-round draft picks in Major League Baseball. The difference being, he's a big name immediately if he's a top-five pick in the NFL as a quarterback. Like Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Pat Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Mitchell Trubisky. Like those are the names over the last couple of years that have been drafted in the NFL as first-round quarterbacks, and we talk about all of them all the time. And guess what? Dwayne Haskins and if Kyler Murray, they're going to be talked about to that degree. You're automatically going to be viewed as the man. Like Kyler Murray is going to be one of, you know, nine on the field with the A's. He's going to be he would be a starting quarterback in the NFL and a first round draft pick and somebody that the team Lamar was right there at the end of the first round. But somebody as a team that they would, you know, make sure they're investing and doing everything they can to see if you make it in the NFL. I get why he would want to play in the NFL. I get it. It's right away. It's a lot of money. It's guaranteed.
I love everybody. I love the nation. Louisville sucks.
Yeah!
You are listening to the Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3 to 6 only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.